Good evening and welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. It is the 19th of February 2017 and we are streaming live on Facebook right now. You can catch us live every Sunday night between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go ahead and visit our website, citizenkane.org, as well as our Facebook page, same name. And if you are watching the live edition as opposed to maybe watching it later in the week on YouTube or on Cheshire TV, go ahead and join us by calling us at that number down below, 267-521-2771, or you can Skype us. Citizen Kane is the handle. Of course, it's a Facebook live stream, and there is a comments section. We usually get some pretty good comments during the show, and Shauna's not allowed to look at those because it distracts her, but I like to look at them, and if I say something wrong, go ahead and slap it up there as quick as you can, and I will go ahead and correct myself. It's good for me. It's good for you. Email address, show@citizenkane.org. Shauna's email address is cherish@citizenkane.org. My name is Conan Soliday, and I am joined, of course, by Cherish, the lovely Cherish. No, her name is Shauna Nash. Shauna, thank you so much for putting up with this cold, cold dungeon that we are working in right now. I know we had to turn the little stove there off. We've got to turn the furnace off. And so for an hour, usually the degrees...
It just gets colder and colder as the show goes on.
It keeps cold. Well, the way to combat that is to actually talk about things that rile you up.
I'm so mad.
Watch for the after show reaction. Shauna reacts to an old dude who calls in on a regular basis, and she got riled up for sure. That's for definite. The snow is melting slowly, but it's drip, drip, dripping out there. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, there's sun outside today.
I need to clean this basement out before Shauna starts beating me. She really doesn't. I know she's a tough one, but she really hasn't started physically maiming me yet, but that's probably going to come if I don't get my act together and get this room cleared out. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be going to a yard sale.
Yep.
We can't do it now, though. There's a snowbank that's taller than me out there in the usual yard sale location out there in the yard.
Well, also, no one's going out to
and no one
yard
goes
sale
out.
Right
yeah,
now.
No one goes out at all.
It's horrible.
So other than the basement being like it is, how are you?
I'm really depressed from that Shauna Reacts segment, really. It's that's terrible stuff.
That was not intended. I intended to rile you up and get you motivated.
There's finding like a that was just I can see how you chose that one, but you know, there's a line between getting someone riled up and all ready to go and then there's just showing them that everything is already defeated. You know, like
Trying
to think of what would have worked better. I don't know.
Well, I need to, in order to combat the issues, the problem, it is necessary to see them and to identify them. And then when you do get the opportunity to actually talk about it, discuss, and maybe nip it in the bud. But a lot of problems, especially when it comes to politics and religion, you can't have the conversation.
Yeah.
This show is, in fact, my attempt to deconstruct the issues and to lay them out there for the folks to better digest.
So what are the issues?
The issues this week, and of course, this is kind of a big one as far as the country is concerned, because some big orange man with small hands has been repeatedly saying that a lot of the reasons he didn't get the popular vote was because of a state up north, New Hampshire, who is rampant. The voter fraud is rampant. And of course, everyone's like, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah, what are you talking?
What are you talking about?
He hasn't been saying that. He's been bragging that if it were based on the popular vote, he would have ran his campaign towards that and would have won by doing that.
And he's also talking about all the voter fraud
and the toll. Well, even from the primary, he was talking about voter fraud and the primary being rigged and the candidacy being rigged.
Mm-hmm.
And since the ascension on November 8th, the other side, the establishment, has been shrieking and shrieking about voter fraud from another angle of, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy theories about the Russians, you know, behind every ballot machine or something. So, and there is a connection to New Hampshire in that he did say as a throwaway line, what's that? Kelly Ayotte, who, you know,
who lost by 700 votes.
I didn't know she lost by 700 votes, but she did lose, mm-hmm. and I'm glad of it. She did not prove herself to be anything more than a puppet of McCain and Lindsey Graham.
Well, I'm thinking that, well, I don't know. I think I would have rather had her in than the, that she was the lesser evil in my book. But, and, but I don't know. I don't even really care.
I don't know. I mean, just sometimes for me, it's just insufferable. So I'm fine with her losing the election. The God Emperor says she would have won if there weren't voter fraud in New Hampshire. Suddenly New Hampshire politicians have something to complain about. And it doesn't seem to me like this issue is brand new to New Hampshire. Because even just living in Keene, college students voting in Keene, swaying the elections, the local elections, has been a real open secret for years.
A real open secret?
A real open secret.
I need to get that drop. Well, the it was really, I guess 2010 is when some legislation was passed that made same-day registrations much, much easier. And I do believe that he's talking about illegal voters in some parts of the country, but in our case, it's same-day registration, and that the fact that the process is so easy that it looks like it can be manipulated if you really wanted to. The question is, are people really doing this? I mean, this is, you know...
I did it.
The,
I mean, I same-day registered after I lived here for a couple of years and finally wanted to vote and kind of knew what I was doing.
Yesterday on the local radio program Sound Off, city clerk Patricia Little was on the program, and she addressed this. She brought some numbers to the table. Definitely recommend listening to that, except you can't because they don't upload their audio. But I'll at least play a little...
Why would they? They own
the I'll at least
radio.
Play a little clip it of some of what I caught... of her addressing voter fraud in the area, and not in the area, but in the entire state.
Where can voter fraud occur? You know, mm-hmm. what are the parts where it could go off the rails? And there really are three activities where voter fraud could introduce itself, and it's not introducing itself in Keene, but it could somewhere, but potentially. So you got the check-in process in New Hampshire. Just recently, we're now requiring the photo identification. Mm-hmm. When you ask for the ballot, that clerk is asking for your photo ID. If you don't happen to have it, we now have gone to the, you know, we'll take your Polaroid right there on the spot, and we ask you to complete an affidavit. That affidavit is sent to Concord. There is follow-up by the Secretary of State's office. If there is no response from the voter, there's sort of a referral to the Attorney General's office. So that's one area, and that's the process to prevent voter fraud. The other one is voter registration on Election Day. And in that case, if the applicant can't prove ID, domicile, citizenship, there is an affidavit that is prepared. The voter signed it. Again, it's a follow-up by the Secretary of State's office. I just happened to get an email from the Secretary of State that I think February 8th was the deadline for folks who did affidavits in 2016 to actually have contacted the Secretary of State. So that's an ongoing process. And then the third opportunity, if someone wanted to, would be the absentee voting.
Okay, so this is a fairly new process. It's the affidavit process where if you don't have the necessary information, anyone could go and register same day mm-hmm. on Election Day. You are required to supply all of the "this is where I live" information, an ID, a picture ID, and proof of residency. But if you don't have those things, and this is from RSA 654:7, voter registration, if an applicant is unable to provide the proof of qualifications as required in RSA 654:12, he or she may register by completing the necessary affidavits pursuant to 654:12 and completing the form in the subparagraph. which looks like...
Like our screen went out.
Like our screen went out. Like this. So you have a basically, if you don't have a valid driver's license, proving your provide the last four digits of your Social Security number, and my name is John Doe, I am today registering to vote in the town of Keene, New Hampshire, in the city ward of whatever. And then this gets packed up, and of course, and I really wish I could have called in the other day, but I work during this particular program.
What did you want to say?
I wanted to ask how many. All right. So, anyways, our last November of the 18,179 registered voters in Keene, which is fairly high, by the way. That's a pretty good number. At 23,000 total, and 18,000 of them are registered voters.
It was very much an election that everybody wanted to be a part of.
Yeah, well, and it
there was an actual choice.
Right, it was less than this because that same day, 2,722 folks registered same day, and that brought it up to 18, and of course the entire. Population accounted for 60%. 60% voted in November, which it's a pretty big number. Question: of those 2,722, how many of those were the "I don't have an ID," "I don't have proof of residency," "I'm going to sign your affidavit," document there, and it gets shipped off to what happens after that? So how many of those were there? And then what is the process after that? And of course,
well, do they even count a same day register as an affidavit?
No. If you have proof of residency and an ID, it's the same day register, and that's you become part of that 2,722.
Then the affidavits aren't in that number that you just gave.
No, and that's what I would like to know because I do have the numbers for the state of New Hampshire. How many affidavits were? Included, and of course, a lot of these same day registers come from the college towns. So there was a really good article in the patch.com talking about the possible fraud, and of course, everyone's saying who's in the know that no, there is no fraud. But guess what?
The investigations thereof.
Concord, New Hampshire. Investigations into thousands of affidavit voters who were able to cast ballots in New Hampshire without identification during the 2012 and 2014 cycles have been dropped by the New Hampshire Attorney General's Office due to lack of manpower to complete the investigations, according to the state official in charge of investigating voter fraud in the Granite State. Brian B., I can't say his name, maybe you can figure that out, an assistant attorney general with the NHAG's office and the point person on investigating elections, said on Friday, after initial investigation into tens of thousands of affidavits in 2012, the effort was abandoned. Quote, "It was extremely burdensome and we basically couldn't manage it," he said last week. "There's no staff to do those investigations." Up until spring 2016, Stephen LeBont, the former elections division contact with the NHDOG, Department of Justice, stated that the department was still eyeing thousands of affidavit votes cast in the 2012 presidential election after New Hampshire approved its voter ID law.
So they're saying over and over that there is no proof of fraud because there has been no completed investigation of fraud.
No. They're not. This is a completely different article. You have individuals like the Attorney General saying that there is no fraud.
Yep.
And then this comes out. It's like, oh, by the way.
That's what I just said. They're saying
by
that
the way,
there
we
is
haven't
no...
we haven't finished the investigations. So how can they say that there is no fraud if they haven't finished?
That's like the other people who say that vaccines are safe and effective and there's no proof that they cause anything because there are no studies conducted and completed to narrow down one way or the other whether they do or not.
Or the studies that are finished and completed are done by their own scientists.
Well, those are mothballed and those don't count because I want to sound cool like I understand science. But it's the same thing as here. So, yes, there is probably fraud because that is the nature of man, I guess. I mean, I would buy
that one. Back in 2013, Labonte and Deputy Secretary of State David Scanlan confirmed that both departments were analyzing the more than 20,000 affidavit voters cast in the 2012 election. 20,000. And probably, well, 500 of them at least came from Keene, including voters who registered to vote but couldn't prove identity, age, or citizenship but were allowed to anyways. Voters that couldn't document where they lived but were allowed to vote anyways. And voters with no identification at all but were allowed to vote anyway. Although, altogether, of the more than 20,000 voters, about 4,400 voters could not be reached by mail or did not return information to the Secretary of State's office.
Well, I don't really know how far you want to go into this.
So those numbers in 2012 and 2014 did not skew those 4,000 voters that they could not prove didn't skew the national election, but they could have affected smaller local elections.
Well, not really. It could have affected a statewide election, but that's about it. So it could have affected... No, it only could have affected the Senate race.
Okay.
All that 4,000 or whatever, that number of the entire state, that goes to federal, and that's it. Because state house election, someone going up to Concord, it's only their district that has his name on the ballot. So you're only talking about zero senators.
Okay.
Because nobody was up for election in, 2010, Gurley Ayotte was elected. And then I think 2014, the other senatress.
Okay, that was 12 and 14.
Yep, sure was.
Those numbers that could not be identified, couldn't get callbacks, they've been dropped. Now we're 2016. Question is, are they going to finish and investigate all of the same-day registers this year? Continuing on with the article, the same cannot be said for 2016. However, when it comes to the major races and...
Which really means president and Senate. That's it.
I wonder why that's not beeping. There it goes. Hey, you're on Citizen Kane. Go ahead with your call.
Hi, it's Joe.
Joe, how you doing, man?
Listen, Joe. Good. I'm thinking, listen, how many kids are in the public schools?
3,400 in Keene.
Okay, now, and then there might be other people in other schools that aren't in public schools. Do you know how many they are?
Oh, I have no idea, but I know that the number, part of the reason that they have lower tuition in New Hampshire is because more and more families are taking their kids out of public school and either educating themselves at home or they're sending them off to charter or private school. I know that's part of the problem. It's not just...
Okay, well, so maybe you're talking about 4,000 kids altogether. Now, you say you got 18,000 registered voters and 23,000 in the whole place. You're saying if you add the kids to the 18,000, that's 22,000 people. You're saying like all but 1,000 people have registered, and I think that's crazy. I don't think that's possible. I think what you got is you got some people registered that aren't legal to be registered.
Well, a couple of weeks back, Joe, I found out that for the longest time, I believe the 23,000 were just residents, and it did not include college kids. But no, that number
includes college kids.
Yes, it does. In fact, include college kids. So I'm thinking a lot of that same day registers were collegers.
Well, they would have had to
that are only here for two.
What I'm saying is you got too many registered altogether. You got almost everybody registering.
So because what's the population of Keene?
That there's likely. Now, listen. This is what Judge DiBernardo said one day. He said offhand, he thinks there's third party registered. Now, I don't know. This is something a question for Patty Little, I guess. I may go into the office this week. But are there third party people who register people on the outside and then bring those people to City Hall? That's where the fraud could be, because that's those people are partisans. Who register people, and So they might be not be as scrupulous as that, as me. I walked into City Hall, you know, as the City Hall people do, with taking. You understand what you following me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. Yeah, and definitely.
Okay,
go ahead.
That's what he thinks. He thinks they have like parties in places where, you know, and probably like if you're illegal, you probably want like a voter registration card. That probably helps you, you know. So
it's probably a form of ID in some other offices.
Yeah. So I think that's how it would happen. I'm going to go in. I'll go in to talk to Patty Little. Maybe you should talk to her too.
Go in.
But I think that's how it happens. This is way too many. If you got like 4,000 people in school and 18,000 registered, that makes 22,000. You're saying everybody but 1,000 people. You're saying like 95% of people registered. I don't think that's true.
I think you've tapped into something.
I think you've really tapped into something.
But listen, yeah, this. So I was going to
70% of people registered at most.
I was going to play this audio clip later in the episode. Did you listen to Saturday's program?
No, I was out.
Well, Chuck Weed was on. He is, of course, the who is he? County commissioner. And this is what one of the callers had to say before he actually got on. Here, listen.
I do remember when I moved back to Keene in 2001 or two. I remember it was probably two. Chuck Weed actually bringing his classes over to vote.
Really?
I'll ask him
at the Wheelock School. Yeah, ask him about it. I mean, I saw him there. Mm-hmm. He was bringing the kids over. They obviously weren't attending class. They were coming over and voting. And they know nothing about Keene politics or the city. They have no investment in the city.
Okay, and of course, Chuck got on afterwards and said,
I heard that somebody claimed that I took my whole class to vote, which I never did as a college professor. I did try to get students actively involved, but it was on their time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a pretty blatant statement by a resident of Keene, that this guy was trucking his students in. And, I mean, if we're talking about this 95% voting registration in Keene, then I can see it. I could definitely see it, that these kids who aren't domiciled here are, in fact, you know, getting trucked in.
No, but they were. I think they were allowed. Oh, yeah.
But having said that, Patricia Little did get on later in the program and said that Ward 1, where supposedly all the college kids live, has the lowest voter turnout in the city.
Well, good. At least there's that.
Yeah. There's one other way why you could have so many people registered, and that is that if the voting, if they're never purged, you know, you have dead people on the list, and you have other, but they're not going to vote. You know,
you have people that have
left town, and that makes the number of registrants high. But I'd be very curious about if there is the possibility that third-party people can register, mm-hmm. can register people without the kind of scrutiny that, you know, the authorities give. You know,
Joe, I appreciate the call. I do know they purge every year. I don't know, but to what extent they supposedly are taking the dead guys off. But my big deal is not the deads; it's the colleges. Joe, thanks so much for calling in. See ya.
Okay.
Bye. Well, I have a couple things about that. Have you ended the call?
Yep, it's done. Go ahead.
All right. When Chuck Weed says, I never took my whole class, he's a college professor. He has many classes.
Yeah.
Teaching more than one. So my whole class could, you know, and I'm just giving out the possibilities of, you know, you could be teaching a whole lecture hall full of like 500 students at once, and you could be teaching like three other courses that same semester. So no, he didn't put, you know, 2,000 kids, you know, grand total into a bus. But, you know, maybe he hosted a lecture discussion of 20 kids, you know, two sessions a week of different courses. And, you know, and yeah, it's on their own time. Well, that's exactly when voting's done.
Did you ever remember?
At your leisure. It's during this one specific day.
All the years I was in college, and it was more than four. I don't remember what it was like on election day, and whether they even had classes or whether they were sending home early or what the deal was. Do you remember election day at college?
The first election that I could have voted in, my first election that I voted in was absentee in the recall election. So they did not make a big deal about it. It was the Bush years and nobody really cared. They were completely demoralized and it was all just, you know, there were a lot more demonstrations about Israel existing than there were about voting itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do remember as a student moving a lot every single year. And I'm absolutely certain that mail got lost. And that happens with college kids here. Just from what I know, you know, from what I just figure, you know, the kid registers to vote and they live in the dorm. Well, a year later, they don't live in the dorm anymore. And to change your address online, you have to spend $1, and that keeps people from doing it. Walking to the post office to get the handwritten change of address form for free is kind of hard.
It's too much work, right?
So people don't do it. Or, you know, because they're dumb kids these days, they just don't know about it. So mail gets lost. And something that I think Joe was pointing out earlier obliquely, if people just move, there's a lot of poor people. But people move just because they're poor and they just got to move somewhere. And, you know, some people just don't keep up with postal mail. I don't know about third-party registrants as, you know, hey, you want to sign up to register to vote, except that they get paid by the valid. I think it's akin to signature gathering, where you get paid by the valid signature. So I don't think they can just be, they can just take any Yahoo or, you know, somebody who just says, oh yeah, sure, I'll sign for you. That's just my guess.
Well, what do you think about the claim that 18,179 registered voters in Keene really is about 90-something percent of all adults?
It's
more than 90% of all adults. If there's only 3,400 students who can't vote underage, that is an overwhelming, that is a very large number.
So,
And I think the only thing that can really explain it is the college, the amounts of college kids in town who are fluctuating up and down all the time. And of course, trying to purge them is a lot harder. So it's not
up for purge because purging would just go by, you know, they print out a list at the end of the year, at the end of the cycle when they go to do it, and they'd be like deaths, and they have a change of address form on file somewhere like you just said,
the colleges aren't changing their address.
That could
all
be.
The time.
I mean, there's also car registration. You know, if they get a change of address from registering the car or whatever, then I guess they could purge from that. But I really don't know.
Let me read some more numbers from this article so we can move on as soon as my screen comes back.
Right.
Last year, there were about 7,500 affidavits to work on, according to their press reports, with more than 1,400 affidavit voters having no identification, but the voters were allowed to vote. According to the New Hampshire Union Leader, another 6,000 voters used out-of-state license or non-driver's IDs to prove who they were. Of those 6,000, a little less than 3,000 used Massachusetts IDs. So a lot of numbers. Definitely check out this article. I'll have it in the show notes. I'll have it on the webpage, citizenkane.org, for you guys to peruse. If there is voter fraud happening, it is happening by accident, by error. It's not intentional and it's not happening, but you cannot say that it's not happening and you are not completing the investigations. That's all I'm saying. You gotta include that in the clause every time. You gotta say, it's not happening, but oh, by the way.
Well, they would have to say
This year there are 4,000 numbers, names that we could not clarify because we ran out of time, we ran out of manpower, and we ran out of money. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they would save a lot more money by not allowing same-day registration. I mean, God, California doesn't allow same-day registration, at least from my understanding.
I'm okay with same-day, but not this affidavit scam.
No same-day, no affidavit.
You have an ID and you have a bill with your address on it, you're good. I don't have any problem with that. And all the election people are volunteering.
Just roll out of bed on Saturday, realize you got to vote on Tuesday? No. No, I'm sorry. I mean, okay, sure, there probably is voter fraud somewhere in some areas, not Keene, because Keene is already so, we know what the situation is in Keene, I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. In some other areas, sure, totally, I have no doubt. I think what really the bigger issue is some people are unfit to vote. They should not have a say in things, and that includes some students, not all freshmen students. Oh man, they can barely figure out that they have to be at work on time.
That's in class on time. They probably don't work
well. Even either or, okay. It's just, you know, and that's society's fault. Sort of, it's the kids' fault. It's the parents' fault. It's, you know, the government's fault. It's the fluoride in the water's fault and all that, but it's still a fact that has to be dealt with eventually. The belt has to come, and some people do not deserve the vote at all.
Wait, when you said belt, you mean the belt of discipline?
Metaphorically, yeah.
It'll come way one way or the other, either from the parents or from life, from reality.
There has to be a line drawn somewhere. There has to be a, you know, no, this is just too much, you know, whether it is some free stater who just got here yesterday and wants to talk to city council about, you know, why they should have, you know, smoke and weed in the central square or something, you know, maybe no, that person should not be listened to because they just got here 4 hours ago. Or somebody who voted, who, you know, wants to vote, who can't be bothered to find out how to register 2 weeks before. Yep. You know, maybe it's a stupid freshman kid. Maybe it's a, you know, ivory tower befuddled mind mush who, you know, has been in college for 8 years and they shouldn't be allowed to vote. I don't know where, I don't have it all figured out, thankfully, for everybody else, where to draw the distinction, but.
So you're 2 weeks at least.
2 weeks, whatever.
I caught so many good quippets on the Last Saturday Show. Thank you, Last Saturday Show, for putting that on there. What is it called? Sound Off?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about another audio clip that I caught, and it really covers what I see as a big problem in this city, in the state, in the government in general. And there is this
up to federal.
There is this idea that in order to be successful, you must perpetually, continually grow.
Yeah, it's in the business world too.
Correct. It's not just government. It's in the business world. The difference is when it's a business, it's all on them, unless it's not like
Walmart.
Unless it's cronyism and they're getting handouts and or lobbying government for favors. But in the case of government, it's supposed to be of the people, and so it's really our success. Or if you're making bad decisions because you want to succeed, because you want the economy to grow, and you make bad debts, you invest in bad debt, it affects us all. Who's going to bail out the government? So the overwhelming desire in the city of Keene, when you go to these meetings, when you hear these people talking on the radio, is that in order to prove our success as a community, we have to keep growing, and, you know, we need more businesses, we need more money in the system. When real estate values go up, that proves that we have grown as an economy. And I'm saying I have issue with this. Big issue. I mean, there are times when you can sustain. I mean, especially when it comes to natural growth, and then there is taking a loan out to buy yourself another car or to hire another worker for your small business. So they're investments, but you have to be cognizant of those investments. So here in Keene, the problem is that we have to attract companies to Keene because we have a tax issue. We are not generating, or the tax rate is going up every year, and it's having to be, and that burden is being spread out to the folks.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is, in order to alleviate that burden, if we just brought a couple of big businesses here, they would pick up the brunt of that, and it would alleviate all that on the rest of us. And of course, I'm always saying, is like, why don't we just spend less money? But no, it's like, no. Let's invest $1.3 million in an ice rink. And in 20 years, the city will take over that ice rink.
Because we're a whole 5 miles away from Swansea.
So there's debt that we're paying for the next 20 years.
Yep.
But it's supposed to attract families. But then what are the long term issues that come with that debt? So yeah, we have this fancy ice rink that only upper middle class could afford. By the way, I can't afford to go to the ice rink.
Which is all they want. You could, but they don't.
I could, but I'm not going to, because I would rather spend that money elsewhere.
Well,
or I'll go skate I'll go find myself a nice frozen pond and I'll skate on it.
I derailed myself. Okay. They don't care if you're poor. You aren't supposed to exist except as a prop to be given, you know, a big old gag check from the community kitchen or something.
Yeah, exactly. If I am poor, a bowl of mac and cheese. If I am poor and I can't afford to go to the skating rink, which by the way I can, but like I said, I'm not going to because I have better things to do with my money. Then do you have all these other outlets? You've got the community kitchen, which is getting more money this year. They want more money, and they'll probably get it. You have all of these outlets that are being developed, these entitlements that are being brought to the table for people who can't afford to go to the ice rink, but they do anyways because they should have been spending that money buying food. Why don't you just not?
Well, you're going in every direction, aren't you?
Okay, it's a problem.
It is a problem. I'm not saying it's not a problem. I'm saying you're getting all everywhere.
Perpetual economic growth. It will eventually end. Walmart beat out Sears and Kmart.
Yeah, and
Walmart will eventually fail.
And Walmart's eating itself. So, you know, don't tell me that Bentonville is just a little anarcho-capitalist topia
I'm not. But their claim to fame is 3% growth every year. I mean, that's not sustainable. Keene cannot continue to grow. Keene needs to buckle its belts and tie its shoes and say, you know what, we need to sustain.
Okay,
tell me what you know. You want me to play this audio clip?
Yes, please.
Okay, this is Mitch Greenwald.
Is it a Zephyr?
He is a huge fan of the growth and that.
It's called the Harvard Business School model. That's what it's called, from what I have heard before.
Here we go.
What do I know?
Well, times have changed. Now it's competitive. We do want to get business, industry, jobs. We want growth. And that's what I hear from the public, and pretty much it's a universal around the state of New Hampshire. Part of what this report observed is that the whole state has much the same issues, that we're getting older and we need to attract younger workers. Well, so it's a whole, and it's more than just a four-legged issue that's got to be addressed. It's more like multiple issues. We need more workers. We need them trained. We need the colleges and the high school training the right jobs. Then we need to retain the young workers. How do we do that? Well, we need to have quality housing for them. We need to have a good work environment. We need to have good entertainment.
Okay. We need to provide all of these things in order to entice, to make the community attractive, to entice these worker replacements, because that's really what it boils down to. Worker replacements to make up for all the bad decisions that have been made in the last 80 years.
Well, after 40 years of women being told to kill their babies, it kind of makes sense that they are graying compared to a society that doesn't do such a thing. So, yeah, they do need to import people, whether it's, you know, virtue signaling by taking in refugees who aren't American, or...
Would you be okay with that? With the...
No, I'd be really down to move, actually.
The, what do they call it? The sanctuary cities, I think.
No, if I wanted to move to back to California, I would. And if I want to, I will. So,
But workforce, they're good workers.
Well, I'm not...
And they're trying to make a better life for themselves.
I don't believe in bringing slave labor to New Hampshire. I mean,
but that's what our city planners want. They want young, dumb kids coming right out of Common Core schools where they learn to be good button pushers, good desk monkeys, to take over and pay down all the debt that has been incurred before these new desk monkeys even got here.
Well, I don't really know what to say about it. I mean, it's interesting that he points out that what we need is quality housing, and it gives me the impression of like a shoebox stuffed full of, you know, either American slaves or non-American slaves, whatever, you know, if you want to work at somewhere anyways, because it's not attracting, you know, people who can buy land and build a home. You know, they're not saying we need to get our financial affairs in order so that we can, as you kept trying to say, sustain
the famine that is coming.
The famine that is coming. You know, it really does sound the horrible situation that you're describing. And it is all of their own doing.
Well, it's
the permanent growth year over year is really foolish, and it was, I'm sure, really impressive in the 80s when, you know, everyone was doing coke and having unprotected sex. That's great, you know, but it's kind of after 30 years come home to roost where, you know, now you have an aging population that can't sustain itself, and they clearly think the solution is more of the same and more of the race to the bottom.
It's not even more the same. They are actually ramping it up. They're spending more in order to make these enticements, to make the community attractive, to fix the problem that exists, but they're actually making it worse.
Yeah, they are it's not so much making it worse. They are making it worse, but it is more like a race to the bottom. It's like a... when you are gambling, you know, you can take the literal example of somebody, you know, gambling in a casino, or a young woman gambling her youth and her looks on the attentions of men. You know, the more you give and the less you get back, the more you put on the table, and the more you lose, then you need to bet more. You need to put out more, whether it's in one relationship or a series, whether it's in one game or the next one or the next one or the next one, because someday you're going to get the payoff. You're going to get all your money back and then some. You're going to get whatever it is you are trained to get. And it's the same thing with this of like, well, now we need to train people to know how to not throw a chair at their supervisor at work when they're doing mentally deadening, soul-crushing work.
But robots are going to fix that.
Well, that's what the libertarians want.
I don't have a problem with robots. Robots are going to make us better. And by the way, let me, as far as economic growth is, I am in favor of my life becoming better.
Yeah.
Through technology and through here my own material wealth. You know, every time I buy a new tool, or, you know, I'm actually bettering myself, bettering my life, or another pair of shoes. Or, I mean, just, it could be little things, it could be big things, it could be a big investment in my company.
Well, I mean, if you got a raise at work that doubled your wages,
right? And but eventually,
that wouldn't be.
But eventually, I am not going to work any longer, and so that will be. You know, they'll have to worry about my. Well, they won't have to worry about retirement because I'm not into that company. But eventually, that company will have to replace me with someone who isn't making as much as me, and so it could work. Sustainability could work, but continually, everyone wanting better and better and better, and not necessarily putting the work in to get it, or making investments that are costly to the future, like incurring debt that just can't be paid off in the long run, then you got a problem. And that's all I'm saying. I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, the debt for, say, the skate rink, the ice rink that's only a whole 10 miles away from the Swansea ice rink, that will eventually be paid off.
In 18 more years.
Probably 30 years because they'll get, you know, they'll refinance or something.
And by the way, something ridiculously irresponsible for a lower interest rate, yes. And by the way, they do that. I don't know if you've seen the debt bill. It's coming up to two pages now.
Well, anyways, by the time the debt is fake taken care of or actually taken care of, the latter of which I don't think will ever happen, there'll be some other problem. Well, the skate rink is now 30 years old. It needs to be replaced. We need a hockey rink now because that's like super cool, or lacrosse, or we need, you know, suicide machines in every street corner or something. That's what's getting all the, you know, the new kids.
Is that a Futurama drop?
It's a mention reference. Yeah. It's, read my wish list. yeah, it's, you know, when you're going on your first round about, you know, permanent growth as it relates to Keene and Mitch Greenwald's statement about it, it kind of made me think at the same time of like, well, we need to grow. We aren't at full employment. You know what?
But the employment is very low. And companies around the area, in the area, and New Hampshire are warning us right now, especially the job hunting agencies, the recruiting agencies. They're telling them, they say, look, we don't have a problem right now getting help, getting employees, but we can see it. And it's coming if something isn't done of worker replacements
who are not
human
qualified?
Capital who aren't qualified, who aren't even interested in working because they've got the damn community kitchen and they've got everywhere else taken care of in Section 8 and the whole nine. Right. Why work? So, I mean, that could be it. You also have the fact that there are less young people.
I think
there's a lot of crap that's coming down the pipe.
Well, there is a lot of that. I know from my experience and just from what I've been told by other people, the companies need to actually pay for what they want. If they want qualified people, they can be found. You need to raise the wages. You need to offer actual training.
Not if they can move to Mexico.
Well, then they need to move to Mexico and stop stressing out the people in Keene.
That's what's going to happen. And I'll tell you one of the reasons.
Then we're all done. We're all going to move to Mexico.
Well,
what I've seen is that they have their options. Their options are to, you know, raise the wages to attract people to move to Keene and live here and be able to afford and deal with the job that they're getting into, or actually provide training for their jobs. I've had a job.
That's what they want Common Core for, because they put this investment in the community. They expect the government-run schools to train.
Well, then they need to look around and see that it's not working. I mean, the job that I had for 5 years in downtown Keene was for children. I was told over and over by the first supervisor, we could take anybody off the street to do your job. And that's how much thought you need to put into it, otherwise you're thinking too much. So... You know, but there's still like such barriers to get in where they expect a college degree. If you're not related to any of the women who work downtown, you need to have a college degree. You need to fit in with, you know, and it's fine to have to fit in and all that. That's totally part of it. But they want a lot. And, you know, there was a company downtown that had a program in the 70s or 80s in Keene, where they would take Keene high school students and have them work doing my job, which was, you know, folding paper all day. So it's not impossible. And there were people who still were working there after, oh God, 30 years. And they were trained from high school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't tell me that like, oh, their only option is to either malinvest, have the city malinvest and buy broadband and, you know, put up McMansion apartments at the corner of Court Street and Old Walpole and Maple Ave, or they're all going to go to Mexico because Common Core is so much more effective down there or something. It's, you know, the companies have options. The city officials, they have their options. They can tell, they can talk to the employers. They're in such dialogue with the students and the, you know, cops and the, you know, weird druggies down the street are always harassing them as they walk downtown. Then get into a dialogue with the actual recruiter, with the actual hiring companies. Don't just, you know, oh, this person from TPI, we must bow down to them.
Who's bowing down?
Well,
I'm just talking about their warnings. Just listen to what they have to say.
Okay, no, I'm talking about the employment agencies that aren't actually producing anything of value. They just take the names and the application and they do the so-called screening process for the actual companies that do produce something of value. Well, to an extent, more so than the recruiting agencies. It's just another layer of bureaucracy. Those are the major employers compared to, well, actually, I would be interested to know how big of a major employer is a temp agency in Keene. One of the two big ones.
Right.
And what does a temp agency do that a responsible company should be doing themselves?
This is a good point, but except the temp agency do it for cheaper. I worked for one big company in Keene,
mm-hmm.
and I asked them that. And it says, oh, well, no, these guys, they specialize in this. They can do it for so much cheaper than we can. There's no way in hell we're ever going back to this. As long as this temp agencies exist, we're never going back to it. We got one personnel officer, and that's all we need. Otherwise, we'd have to have five, and we'd have to be worried about all of the background checks and the whole nine and everything and the drug tests. No, it's these people. This is streamlined the way.
They got other options too.
They might. If it came down to it, they could do it themselves. But I think that it is. The temp agencies are much more effective.
I mean, and yet you're getting
keyword specialization. They specialize in it. They can do a better job.
Specializing, it depends on what you're specializing
Speaking of moving to Mexico, yesterday, Senate Bill, was it yesterday? That was Friday. Senate Bill 11 had a vote in the New Hampshire House of Representatives. The bill was passed in the Senate and is known as Right to Work. That's actually a misnomer. As it should be called, worker freedom legislation.
Oh.
And, okay, I agree. Since it stops unions from forcibly taking fees from workers who choose to be non-union, a majority, including some Republicans, voted against worker freedom by a vote of 200-177. Even though there is a Republican majority in the legislature, the bill never stood a chance. Republican Speaker Sean Jasper said set the labor committee up with enough anti-worker freedom Republicans to essentially kill the bill out of committee. And that's exactly what happened. On top of that, Republicans in the House also voted against worker freedom. Surprising poll out of UNH. Can you see this, Sean? Actually, let me flip this camera over. Went out, did some polling, asking Granite Staters, you know, how they felt about right to work, how they felt about unions forcibly taking money from their workers. And the 2012 poll is about the same as February 2017's poll. 49% said no, unions shouldn't have the right to do this. Only 32%, am I seeing that? 32% said that yes, or they had no opinion, and 19% said that yes, they had the right to take that money.
It's not from...
For negotiating purposes and everything else that unions do for the folks.
It's from non-union members. They're taking the money not just from the folks in the union, which makes sense, I guess, if you want to do that, whatever. It's taking it from non-union members. So you can be an employee, not join the union, they still get your union membership. And the actual problem with it that I get all worked up about...
Tell me more. You got 1 minute and 30 seconds.
The majority of them are government employee unions.
Right. So there's the there's about 10%...
SEIU, teacher unions. They... And every time anybody complains of, you know, I've seen people before say, oh, you know, I'm a teacher and I'm not a member of the union and I, you know, it's so terrible and all that. I don't believe it.
You don't believe those people actually exist when reading the opinions and there's like, I'm a...
No, every time somebody says like they're a teacher, but they're not part of the problem, it's the problem of the union and all that. It's like, well, they don't, it doesn't matter because they're still getting their union dues from you, even if you're not a member.
Correct. And so only about 4% of workers in the New Hampshire are in fact unionized, private unionized. The other 6% come from, of course, government workers, which in my case, my book, are the big problem. The pensions for these individuals are unsustainable. And that is part of the problem. There's a lot of problems, but it's part of the problem. That's part of the reason that we're looking at hard times. Check out this article at the old webpage. It does include the individuals who voted in favor of this bill, all Republicans. And also the Republicans who voted against it, all the Democrats voted against it, but also the Republicans who did, and they, you need to look at their, jot down their names and not vote for them again, in my book. I understand some people, a lot of the response is, if you don't want to be a part of this process, go work somewhere else.
Of what
and
process? Of the
if you don't want to be, if you don't want to pay union dues, don't work for a company that that is unionized. And of course, another big argument is that if you're so pro liberty, pro freedom, how can you support legislation that is actually regulating unions?
Because they're government.
Well, some of them are government, but there's at least 4% are private. But my response is because I support the smallest building block, which is the individual, that is being taken advantage of by the majority. And so this is the reason I can support something like Right to Work, because it does support the individual and they are, you know, who is getting fleeced, who might not want to be a part of this because he doesn't want his money being used to support some candidate that his union supports. Or maybe here's a big one that no one ever talks about. So how much of a percentage of his paycheck is going to support this union versus how much he is getting extra every year?
How much of an actual benefit?
Yeah, so the benefit compared to the cost. That's always been my big question, because I bet you if you just did away with one or the other, you would find that, hey, I'm coming out even. And my money's not being used to support some candidate that I don't support myself.
Well, I don't know, but
you know what? We can't deal with any for the next 2 years, because part of this bill that went through was no more talking about it for 2 years. Keep it off the table. 2019, we'll be back. We'll be talking about it again.
Well, I mean, I think even with a private company, that sounds like fraud anyways. You can be, you know, it's just you're paying to actually be an employee there. Yep. If you want to work there, then you have to pay this union due.
Or just don't work there.
So even if
but government jobs are so cushy. That's where you want to be.
I wasn't talking about government jobs.
Okay, yeah, I know you're talking about private. Guys, thank you so much for watching. We will see you again next week at the same time. Call that number anytime during the week, 267-521-2771. Leave a message if you would like. You can also email me. My address is show@citizenkane.org. You can get Shauna Cherish @citizenkane.org. Check out that Facebook page, because I put a lot of these articles that we discuss and a lot of them that we didn't get to, put them on the Facebook page, and comments are always good to go. And yes. Did I forget anything? Guys, thank you so much for watching. We will see you next week. Good night. Wait a minute. Say all that over again. So how you doing there, Miss Shauna?
When I go gray.
Wait, what do you mean gray?
Gray as in like my hair turns gray or white, whatever it's doing right now.
Uh-huh.
one at a time. I'm going to probably dye my hair once. And then after that, it's going to just be gray. And, you know,
What if the first time it looks really sharp? Looks really good.
Then I won't.
Why even do it the one time if you know it's only going to be just one time?
Because you first think like, oh, I'm ugly now. I need to not be ugly. Let me do something to not be ugly and invisible. And if it turns out that, no, I'm not invisible, then duh, yeah, I'll keep it. I won't dye it.
Okay.
It's a terror.
How are you going to treat me when I go bald?
I'm going to be thrilled, man. I'm not able to convince you to cut your hair. So
life as you know it on Earth ends.
I'm just going to end it.
Next best thing.
I'm just going to end it.
You're not going to go bald, though.
I'm going to be that guy, that old man.
Did you hear me? I said, get off my lawn now.
You're already like that.
I'm working up to it. Shauna, before you start, I'm going to play one more Shauna Reacts.
Okay.
So I did get to...
Just so you know, this mascara is not waterproof.
Are you itching?
So if I start crying...
No, you're not going to...
It's going to look hideous.
No, you're going to... Actually, I don't know how you're going to respond to this.
Just play it, then we'll find out. Do I need to turn this off?
I'm not even going to...
Heater off?
Yes, please. I don't know if I want to... Do I need to set this up? Okay, so this is Greenwald. He's talking about growth and stuff.
Uh-oh.
All right, so the city has set up a committee.
God.
A Monadnock Economic Downtown something, where they're actually... looking into the problem and how to fix the problem, and the soundbite that I played earlier was what they're going to do.
They should put me on the committee as a token, you know, moron who doesn't know anything but can be like a person of the people.
One of their solutions is they want to put the feelers out there to get companies they don't even know that we exist, and of course it's not going to be volunteer. It's not going to be some brochure that's mailed out to big companies. They actually want to hire somebody to be
to use Google and, you know, big companies not in New Hampshire.
Of course, when you think about all of the projects that the city of Keene that we are taxpayers are paying for, like for example, the land use update.
Yeah,
$250,000 to this company to tell us that we have a problem when we already knew we had a problem. The zoning is messed up.
We don't need to
spend the money. Just rezone. Or this,
well,
they're gonna hire.
I did read their brochure that they gave out of their solutions and what they found from their study. It sounds reasonable, but I don't know if it's $250,000 worth of
reasonable.
Stuff is redundant. It's archaic. Every single day you have a new variant that doesn't make any sense. Get your S together, make it clear, and make it accessible.
Yeah, they asked.
Boom. Where's my $250,000?
Yeah, they asked, how do we know this is going to prove that it worked? And the girl, what's her title? A city planner pretty much said, if you guys don't have any more variances to deal with, you knew that it worked.
Awesome.
Like, I could have done that. Change the regulation. Of course, the really, really boils down to is they don't want to do like Houston, Texas, and just do away with zoning altogether. They want control. They're going to still deal with variances. I don't care how much money you spend on this, how much rezoning you do, you're still going to have people who want to build in a zone that they're not allowed to, and they're going to have to get permission. And you yahoos are going to get to decide one way or the other, and you're still going to be sitting there for 2 hours every month
meeting,
because it's not going to go away unless you get rid of zoning. So yeah, so you got that. You've got the hiring of the recruiters to find a new city manager.
God.
And you even had city councilors is like, this is dumb. Why can't we do this? This is our job. We could put ads in the paper. You've got.
Why don't they just go through TPI or Mossiello?
They've got recruiting agencies who do this for a living that don't cost. It wouldn't cost the city however much how many thousands of dollars they're spending.
Mossiello or TPI.
Okay, so hiring a feeler is one of the solutions. Here's another solution from Mitch Greenwald.
The tide has turned. I truly think that this council, this mayor, future mayors are going to pick up that we are open for business and we want to encourage it. Just another little finding, so to speak, of the committee I chaired, rebranding the code enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Change the name. It's the Community Development Department. Code enforcement says to me, no, you can't.
Policing.
Yeah. That show me that you can, and then maybe I'll change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mitch, there's a word for what you just said. It's called doublespeak. You've taken a harsh-sounding word that everyone who they're always going to know that the Monadnock development community is in fact code enforcement who go around in their car looking for deficiencies so they can fine you. Renaming it to this nice, fluffy Monadnock development community. You want to play it again?
What did he want to call it instead? I mean,
the tide is turgid. Just another little finding, so to speak, of the committee I chaired. Rebranding the code enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Change the name. It's the Community Development Department.
Community Development Department.
Well,
this is the nature of the process. You know, people become disenchanted with a department, and of course, they change the name of it to sound more fluffier and more attractive. Until the Community Development Department, the
Community Development Department.
So the CDD,
yeah.
Eventually it will become the despised CDD employee. He's always coming around, giving me fines. I hate that department. Ugh, I wish it would burn down. It's coming.
Well,
CDD.
You can't successfully rebrand your image unless you change your behavior.
Correct. They're not going to change their behavior from policing. They'll still be doing the same thing they're doing.
There are plenty of examples.
You might have one guy in the CDD who is the feeler guy, who actually goes around and entices companies to come to Keene. But all the rest of them, they'll still be responsible for going around and gigging projects because the guys aren't wearing the hard hats or because the electrical was run wrong. And by the way, I am not against a department that monitors codes.
Code enforcement.
Code enforcement. I just don't think the city needs to be involved. Who I want involved? I want my house, my home insurance company, and I want private third-party agencies that the insurance companies will say, go talk to this guy, or we actually hire them out. They're a part of our department. Because it's really more stakeholders. They are more, there's two stakeholders. It's me and you.
Yeah.
Me and you and the insurance company.
I would be hard-pressed to say that the city, the society in which you live, which are separate things, the culture that you're a part of and the people that you're a part of, which is different from the city government, it's difficult for me to say that they have no stake in your house burning down or your food preparation at your, you know, restaurant being horrible. And maybe I would have a different opinion about having the insurance company in my home if the insurance industry were not infested by that same growth at all costs problem, as you were saying earlier.
What you really need to ask is what stake does the city have in this game? Why do they have code enforcers, and why do you have to get permits every time you want to add something on to your house or you want to make changes? Because when you do add something onto your house, an addition, you're going to be taxed accordingly. They want to know everything you're doing, all the improvements that you are making to your home, because as soon as you do, you're going to be taxed more. And if they're not in the loop and they don't know what you've done, that's revenue that the city is losing. That is why they exist.
My experience.
It is not for your and mine protection. It is for the revenue and the continual parasitism of government.
When a realtor I worked for in California explained it to me, because I had the same idea, and for the most part, for a lot of it, for 90% of it, yeah, they just want to know how they're going to get their money later, how this is going to, you know, affect the tax bill that they're going to get from you. he had an example of, and maybe this is just a California thing because they don't care about poor people, but, you know, people would convert their garage into an apartment and, you know, but the cement in the driveway is not the kind that is supposed to just have a carpet laid over it, so people are breathing in some weird fumes or something. Also, you know, realtors are kind of crazy, so, you know, maybe he just was thinking of some cool drugs he did back in the 70s. I don't know.
But
that's just what I've encountered. Of like, there are instances where you do need some type of standardization. Right now, it's only done by the government. And I really don't think right now that the insurance industry, as it operates right now,
could do it.
Well, they could do it, but they really don't want to because they want to hire people who already know how to do their job.
Well,
and all
if they don't have, if they don't have to worry about this code enforcement department because it's already being taken care of by taxes by the city, then they don't have to worry about creating this wing. So it actually is better for them. Because it's already taken care of by the...
Well, they do have experts and they have risk mitigation departments and all that and actuarials and everything. So, you know, I don't know who you're trying to blame right now, actually.
I just want to be free. By the way, as far as that code was concerned, I think one of the codes that I'm aware of in Tennessee, you can't have a bedroom adjacent to a garage.
Oh, well, here's an example of government being stupid, because I lived in a bedroom.
With an open door going into the garage because of fumes. So yeah. I can see something in California where, I can actually see in California where it's like, oh no, there used to be a car parked on this concrete, and it has been drenched in oil and gas, and it's all sitting in the walls.
Yeah.
So you can't sleep in this room because it has been drenched with fumes. So I can see something ridiculous like that. It actually makes sense that you wouldn't want to have a bedroom right next to a garage with an idling car with your family sleeping in the next room over. That's a good way to...
That's where I lived.
So you actually lived in a situation like that.
Well, when you torch a car that's in a carport garage and your...
Clothes and stuff are in there and it gets all...
You were sleeping right there. Kind of gets in the way of living there anymore. I didn't torch the car, though.
Well, that's good to know. I know now I can... I was going to go upstairs and take your keys and hide them somewhere safe so that you don't end up killing yourself. I think that's it. We miss a lot of articles.
Yeah. Community
Kitchen wants more money. HB 191 fails. No big whoop. Okay, guys. We will see you next week. Thank you so much for watching. Can someone send me a comment and tell me that the video that they played on, they're watching on Facebook right now, is it choppy or is it good, solid quality, video all the way through, video and audio?
Is it flowing?
Is it flowing efficiently or is it choppy? Because on my end, every now and then it'll like pause.
See, you can tell, is it choppy or is it flowy?
Yeah, well, of course we're sitting here watching it and...
That's all I need to know.
But you agree with me that it's paused on our end.
Yeah, because we've gone away from it. See?
Oh, yeah. There it goes again.
Zuckerberg is watching us watch the stream.
They're not just watching it. They're recording it. It's going through. Skynet is monitoring everything we just said. So they know where to send the drones.
Well, I think you're giving it to Facebook. Like, that video is now Facebook's property.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Even from like MySpace days, I was under the impression that...
I think there might be something in the AdSense clause where if I'm making money, if I'm monetizing this video...
Oh, well, then we're fine.
Then they might be claiming a stake in the video. Anyways, this bill, a right-to-work bill, cannot be brought up.
Because it's so...
For 2 years. That was part of the...
Of this bill?
That was part of the bill that passed, yes.
This is why the word conservative was invented. God, what losers. That's all I got. Shauna Reacts, straight ticket.
Oh, yeah, let's play Shauna Reacts. Okay, so this is an old man. You ready for it? All right,
this is
an
old...
Huh?
A caller?
A caller to one of the shows here in Keene. This old man calls in all the time. And he has the exact same thing to say every time, and which is why I knew I was already expecting what what he was going to say. And it really, really does. You're gonna find that a lot of Shauna reacts are just me
channeling your anger into
no. It's me capturing what is wrong. This is something that is wrong with the U.S., with humanity, with just everything.
You know, one of these days you're gonna have to find one that's like, cute kittens were saved. Here's them meowing. Just to throw everybody off.
I hope this isn't... You know what? This might be freezing. Is anyone watching right now?
No, I think it's...
No, I upgraded the video. It's much, okay. Much higher quality.
But it's not because Facebook is psycho. And if you scroll away... Like, I've watched live feeds of other stuff. And if you, you know, scroll away...
You're wasting buffering speed,
down,
yes. And that they're doing it on purpose.
Because they know that you're getting, you know, you're not watching it.
I'll keep it. All right, so this is Shauna Reacts to some old dude who calls in the talk radio quite often here in Keene.
Yay, I can't wait.
Here you go.
I think I heard one of your previous callers mention the fact that he didn't think that straight party ticket was the way to go. And I have to respectfully disagree with him. I'm a straight party person, and I was pretty upset when they took that the icon on the ballot that took that off, so you can't just cross that out, you know, put a check in there and let it go.
Yeah, but
I'm not a person voter, actually. I don't vote just for a person. Obviously the person I vote for, I hope, feels the same way I do. But I vote for the philosophy. You know, we have in our electoral system we have philosophies. It's us against them, really.
All right, there's more. You want more?
No.
Here
you go. In a very generic way, we have two different philosophies, and I always vote. I have been for as long as I can remember. Actually, I probably was voting before any of you in the studio right there were even born. So that gives you a clue as to where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Anyway, I still check off every Democrat on a ticket because I believe in a democratic philosophy. In my case, that's the one that I've always found.
I never understood though. I mean, they took it away, but like you said, it's just a little bit more work. But you can still vote all Democratic if you choose to, right?
Oh yes. Oh yeah. Yeah, I understand. But this is taking that off is another voter suppression thing. I look at it
really
the way I look at it. It's just another little notch there somewhere that, you know, they've been doing all kinds of things to keep certain people from voting. I don't think anybody can deny that. Mm. They gerrymander things. They change the districts. You name it. To get some, make it harder for some people to vote, and that's just to me, it's no big deal. I just check off everyone on a ticket that's a Democrat, and that's the end of it.
Hold on, I got one for that.
Believe that.
So yeah, be waiting to hear from him this coming week. He's a regular caller, and he's a straight ticketer. It's all about the philosophy of it's them against us, Shauna. Regardless of what the message is, regardless of who the person is, it's them against us. That is the philosophy, and that is what is wrong with this system. People who
way too many articles and watch too many videos today about Pizzagate to really comment on the morals of somebody who votes straight Democrat because they agree with the philosophy and that it doesn't matter the type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
And I will give credit where credit's due.
What's that?
Out of my cold, living, dead hands. Chris Coates sounded pretty reasonable there.
Yeah, well, I think that he was... I think he already knew what he was going to... Like I said, he's a regular caller. He already knew where it was going.
At least he could feel shame, I guess. Got that going.
All right, let's get this show going.
Why? That was the show.
That was the show?
I'm sad now.
I wanted to rile you up.
I watched too many Pizzagate stuff today, man.
Oh, I don't. You need to stop. You need to stop
watching
that stuff.
I read too much, man. I'm too ready to comment about that.
You need to stop.
It's at the tip of my head of like, so it's cool if they kill babies and eat them.
No, put your head back in the sand on that one. That's too. That's too saddening for everyone.
It should be.
But aborting is bad. Is good. Bad. Good. Bad. Good.
Yeah, as long as you know women don't have children.